This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne. When the U.S. and Iraqi military operations intensified in Baghdad, Sunni insurgents moved out and turned a province northeast of the capital even more violent. Diyala province has long been an insurgent stronghold. Now, as NPR's Jamie Terabay reports, coalition troops have launched operations to deny the insurgents access to the area.
The road to Shakarat, just outside Muqtadiya, is pocketed with craters from roadside bombs. Cars approaching a U.S. military convoy teeter precariously to the left side of the road, almost falling into the pungent ditch. Shakarat and most of Diyala province is home to Iraq's most fertile land. Towns are squeezed between dense clusters of palm groves and snaking canals. Captain Eric Phillips from the 293rd MP Company says it's also the terrain of bomb-making Sunni insurgents.
IEDs in our stretch? Daily, I think we see about one a day on this road, in this little stretch. We either find it or get hit by it. I've had several trucks have the doors blown up and had to go get replaced on this road.
The road is drenched in sewage and garbage. Locals stare as the convoy goes past. The spray-painted graffiti on the cinder block wall says enough about support for the insurgent groups. Long live the Mujahideen. Long live the Islamic State of Iraq. One says, death to Maliki, the country's prime minister. On March 14, U.S. and Iraqi forces rolled into Shakarat to commandeer the tiny bridge over the canal. Lieutenant Michael Stallings, 6th Squadron, 9th Cavalry of the 1st Cavalry Division, explained the strategic importance of controlling the bridge.
It became a key hub for the insurgents because so many roads intersected here. And this is the only crossing of the Marut Canal in that breadbasket area. So in this Sunni-controlled area, this was their main lifeline. But now we own it.
He says insurgent groups terrorized the local people.
They had insurgents from the Islamic State of Iraq. They would come across these bridges with their vehicles, do shows of force, intimidate the population. They conducted a beheading in Heil Mulamin on a retired Iraqi police officer.
In front of people?
Yes, they pulled everybody out of their houses to watch it.
The military, both U.S. and Iraqi, intends to stay. They've taken over homes along the main road and offered compensation to the owners. One of their main outposts happens to be the nicest and biggest house in the street, as Lieutenant Stallings acknowledges.
It is the key house in this town. It's the tallest building, and unfortunately for the family, it's almost brand new.
But the owner has yet to be compensated. One of the sons, a burly man named Mahmoud, wearing a long grey tunic under a wind cheater, folds his hands over his stomach as he listens to Stallings explain why the family hasn't received any money yet.
I understand your concern about you haven't gotten paid yet. We've been here less than a week, okay? There are a lot of claims that we have to handle, and we don't come into town with a trunk of money to hand people cash for the things that have happened.
Stallings is surrounded by questions from the locals. He's not helped by a short Iraqi soldier at his elbow asking how much longer the Iraqi army has to stay in Shakarat. The soldier complains he's working 12-hour shifts, hasn't had time off, and hasn't been paid. Stallings becomes frustrated.
Yes, we're going to be here as long as we need to be to secure the people of Iraq. You need to talk to your chain of command, your commander, your platoon leader, your Arifs, to ask them these questions, not me. I only run the American part of things. Your commander runs the Iraqi part of things.
Nearby, Fadil Kadmi, with the help of three men, gingerly lifts his yellow-framed shopping stall, disposable razors dancing from one rung. He wants the U.S. military to allow cars over the bridge again so he can sell his crops to buyers coming from other parts of the country.
We have no connection with the insurgents. We don't know who they are or where they come from. This operation is for them, but it's been 6 days and we have nothing left to eat.
Other Iraqis also want the bridge opened, but the U.S. military says it's too soon. Iraqi soldiers call men approaching the bridge to lift their shirts to make sure they're not wearing explosives. A suicide bomber killed an Iraqi child here this past weekend. Jamal Alun, a 61-year-old man wearing a white turban, sits with other Iraqis outside a store watching the bulldozers work. He says he feels better now after this latest operation and wants the military to stay.
We need electricity. We need water. We need this garbage removed. That's what everyone is now asking for.
He's told it's coming, along with the reconstruction of the local school, which only last week bore the flag of Al-Qaeda, the U.S. military says. He replies, Inshallah, God willing, and those standing with him say the same. Jamie Tarabay, NPR News, in Diyala Province, Iraq.
And Jamie recently experienced firsthand what it's like to come in contact with an IED. Hear her reporter's notebook at npr.org.